The Fix is in. The Sports Fix.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by GV Art and Design. It's not just a shirt, it's a statement. GVArtwork.com.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all day or all week to get in on the fun. The party doesn't stop when we go off the air all week long. The Sports Fix social media sites are your one-stop shop for all things Cleveland sports. Jump over to Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, and become a fan today because we love fans and they create some of the best sports talk in town, Daddy. You'll enjoy talking to your fellow Cleveland sports fans on the Sports Fix fan page. And if Twitter's your thing, well, you know how we do it. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. It's that simple.
Twitter.com/TheSportsFixCLE, baby.
Chat live with the crew during all your favorite Cleveland sports events, tickets and contests and trivia and so much more. Get with us today, The Sports Fix on social media, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Join the Sports Fix on Facebook and Twitter today.
Hey, Cleveland. This is Anderson Varejão of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You are listening to the Sports Fix.
Live in Ohio, it's time to get your fix. The Sports Fix.
Welcome in, everybody. We are live. It is Thursday. Man, week almost in the bag already. And, man, I'll tell you what. Welcome in each and every one of you guys to the Sports Fix as we kick things off here. Another day, another dollar, as they say. And an abbreviated Sports Fix today for sure, for the simple fact that, man, they washed out the game last night. We've got an Indians game going on right now. So, flying solo, it's all good. We're gonna have a nice little episode of the Sports Fix today. A little bit of sports talk going on, kind of a general. You know what? I've got a cool story to tell you guys about in a few minutes before we even get diving into the meat of the show or anything like that. And I love it too because you can probably hear I'm a little bit upbeat today because we've always got the negative side of sports, the bad side. Just a cool little story to tell you guys about here to start the show, and we're going to talk some Indians as well. I told you yesterday, Mike Brandenberry will be with us tomorrow, not today, but we're going to talk about his work today. Did the Tribe Win Last Night.com has put together a couple of good Indians articles this week. I want to dive into especially the one about, is it the optimum time to consider trading Asdrubal Cabrera now or never? But we'll talk about that Indians talk a little bit later on in the show. Speaking of some really good articles, I'll tell you what. And even those of you that are staunchly anti-Browns or against the Cleveland Browns and where they've sat for the last however many years, Peter King, and not a friend of Cleveland, by the way, as we know, Peter King with his history with trolling the Cleveland fans, if you will, and the stuff with Bernie Kosar on his Twitter. But he did do a hell of an article, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit later on and read you guys a few snippets out of it about the unwanted coach, if you will, Mike Pettine. And really, I'll tell you what, a good piece. Even if you're not a fan of the direction of the Browns, you may enjoy reading this here. I'm finding out some stuff about the new head coach of the Browns. We'll talk about that here. Cavaliers, a lot going on with their narrative. I had already planned coming on the air here to talk to you guys about what happened yesterday with David Blatt. Here I'm looking ahead thinking, if the Cavaliers like what they hear and they want to make a move, they may move on this guy, and we're talking about it today. Instead, quite the opposite comes out. It may be the other way around. We'll talk about it later on, but definitely some stuff afoot at the Circle K there, and we'll talk about that. But even more importantly for the Cavaliers, their plans at the top of the draft may have been drastically altered as news has now filtered out in just the last, I'd say it's just now coming out in the last half hour, something like that heading into the show. But Joel Embiid, who we talked about, the Cavaliers, he was the first one that the Cavaliers got in here to look at, and they just looked at Andrew Wiggins yesterday. They've got Jabari Parker coming in tomorrow, I believe. And but Joel Embiid, who had the back, the concerns about his back and all of the medicals, blew the Cavs away with the physical part of his workout. Really, and we talked about this, the thing that was going to, you know, determine his fate was going to be the medicals. But now word has come out and it's been confirmed by Joel Embiid's agent. Matter of fact, this just came out just about 10 minutes before we went on the air, even closer than I thought. But a injury to the right foot, most likely believed to be a broken foot. And Joel Embiid has now suffered an injury in the last couple of days during his personal workouts. And this, you've got to think, goes highly into the consideration pile. I mean, it's one thing, I get it, that they've got the doctors, and we'll talk more about this later on in the show when we dive into the Cavs, but I get that the doctors at the Cavs are very well renowned and all of that, and I talked about how that gives you a little bit of leeway when it comes to the injuries, but now we're sitting here hearing about a guy with back concerns and a broken foot. If nothing else, that speaks to perhaps being a bit snake-bitten and injury-prone, and big guys that are injury prone at the top of the draft. I mean, we can talk about a lot of guys who fit into that category. And as much as I was tempted looking at the talent of Embiid too, at this point, Wiggins, it was such a close call to me that at this point, he instantly drops out of my consideration. And now you change that equation for the Cavs, because do they value size your value one way, but now the other guys and their scoring ability, do you value that enough to still take the guy at number one, or do you start to now anticipate looking for a different trade offer? There's a lot to this here, but this is just coming out this morning. So we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to take your calls, so much more. Welcome in, everybody, to the Sports Fix. I'm your host, J-Rock, Jerry Myers, the big daddy on the microphone. Call me what you will. Call me happy to have you wherever you're listening to the show. Speaking of, I want to give a shout out to my man, Paul Gregory, in the UK, where it is, just a little bit after happy hour, baby. He's sitting there. I asked him, I talked to him yesterday. He listens all the way over in the UK. I said, what time is it when you listen to the show? He goes, man, it's 5 o'clock. Perfect time to sit back and listen to you, especially talking Tribe, heading into usually the Tribe games, although today is one of those inconsiderate Major League Baseball scheduling day. I get it. I forgive you, Major League Baseball, for doing that. I understand. I know you mean no hard feelings to us here on the Sports Fix. We'll follow along, by the way, and give you updates on that as last night's pitching matchup pushed over till today as the Indians rained out last night, for those of you that didn't know. We'll continue to talk about that. But shout out to my man, Paul, all the way over there. You know what? Not even. Yeah, that's a long way away. Not even the furthest away from Cleveland listening to the show. And I'm not going to go deep into this, but I had talked about this before. Every once in a while, I give you guys like some little stats on the show or whatever. And this is just off one of the sites. Realize when I give you guys the list of all the places that have the show, but on one of the sites, we have at least one daily listener from Osaka, Japan, which is completely on the other side of the globe. So while the United Kingdom is a very far distance away, we go even for, and that amazes me, by the way. I mean, just looking at this site here, I mean, there's a listener in every state in the United States and in so many countries around the world. And that is amazing to me. I say it all the time. It speaks not to the show as much as to Cleveland fans being everywhere. I mean, just looking in the top 25 here on this site, Canada, Trinidad and Tobago, Australia, Japan, United Kingdom, and then all of these various states around the United States. Just absolutely amazing. Again, a credit to you guys, most definitely. But shout out to Paul. Shout out to Adam Spear, too, by the way, who been listening to the show. I think he jumped up on board last summer. You see him in the chat room sometimes, by the way. Happy birthday to him as well as we get rolling on the show. And hey, welcome in all of you listening live around the world on thesportsfix.net, on Spreaker and TuneIn and TuneIn's radio app worldwide and Mixler as well. Welcome in each and every one of you guys. Also listening on Digital Delay 24 hours a day, no matter where you're at, no matter what time, on iHeartRadio, the world's largest internet radio provider, on Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, iTunes, people that subscribe on all of the different podcast platforms, and so much more. Thank you guys so much for being with us. And as always, microphone, it's in my hand, but it's yours, so use it. Pick up the phone and give me a call, 216-539-7535. Today, the phone lines are just open. There's no guest list. There's no hotline. It's just you and me, baby. So let's do it. 216-539-7535. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. If you can't get to the phone, hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. During the show, we'll read the best ones on the air. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Email us, TheSportsFix@AOL.com. And I want you guys to be interactive here, because when I get into what I'm about to tell you here, the first little segment of the show, I'd love to hear some similar type stories from you guys here. So make sure you get ready to chime in on the conversation. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE and email us, TheSportsFix@AOL.com. And also don't forget the website, TheSportsFix.net. Your one-stop shop, baby. It's got it all right there on TheSportsFix.net. And, okay, so I wanted to start off the show before we get into anything else, anything that we just teased here. Just a cool story. You guys know some of the, you know, especially you guys that are regular listeners, you know, there's like a group of the regulars, as I call them, you know, you'll hear their names mentioned a lot because they're just, they're there. They're the most active as far as on the social media and the chat room. And I love it. And that's why I encourage all of you guys, by the way, any time of day or night, hit me up. And there's so many times that people get a hold of me and go, yeah, I've been listening for a year. I've been listening for a couple of years, and it'll be the first time they've reached out. And I'm like, what did you wait so long for? Let's do it. I love talking to you guys. So, but anyways, Bruce Wood, longtime listener of the show here, my man, great supporter of the show. He hits me up after the show yesterday, and we're talking, hey, good show, all of that. We're doing some small talk after we went off the air. And, he goes, man, you're never going to believe this, man. What a crazy afternoon. And I'm like, what happened? He said, hey, you know, I'm friends with Mike Trout on Facebook. I said, yeah, Mike Trout, man, for the Angels. He goes, yeah. He goes, hey, you want to go to the game? He just threw me some tickets to the game and a pass to batting practice. I'm like, have you ever met him? Like, no, man, just friends on Facebook. And I'm like, get out, man. And sure enough, turns out that Bruce was one of a group of people. I think it was about 50 of them that Mike Trout. And apparently he does this in all the visiting towns that he goes to. He's big on the social media. And then he gets a big group of them together. And because, you know, the players, you know, have access to certain tickets. And by the way, primo tickets by behind the plate, I leave. But Bruce, if you're out there listening, you know, give me a call. I'm going to talk to you here about this, because pretty cool. And I thought, you know, I got to, there's a lot of guys, and I said, I got to bring this up. I said, Bruce, you mind if I tell this story? Because, you know, some people might not want it out there. And he said, yeah, go ahead. Because I thought, man, we're, you know, everybody in the media, they'll jump on when somebody did something wrong, when somebody got themselves in trouble, all of that stuff. And you know, who's doing this and who's talking into the money phone there and all of that stuff. So love to bring up, you know, the opposite side. And when guys do, especially I get the emails from all of the major teams, but the Browns are the biggest, of sending you an email, making sure that you know where guys are going to do their appearances so you can take pictures. But the Indians, the Cavs, they all do it because they want media publicity for those appearances. And a lot of people, that's cool. There's nothing wrong with it. Just because you want people to know you did it doesn't mean it takes away from the fact that you did it. But I always say it's cooler when guys do it and don't want people to know about it. Obviously you can't control if I'm going to come on the radio and talk about it, but that wasn't your intention, you know? And I always think that's even a step cooler. And tons of guys do stuff like that. I can go into that in a minute, but Bruce is actually on the line here. I'm going to go to the line and let him talk about this a little bit. Bruce, my man, is this you?
Yeah. Good morning.
What's up, Bruce?
Hey, not much. Hey, really how it happened was I was just sitting here listening to the show, and the message window popped up on Facebook, and it said, Bruce, do you live near Cleveland? said, I see by your thing, you know, you're an Indians fan. And I said, yeah, you know. And he typed in that I got two tickets for you tonight if you want to go. And he said, just wait till after 3 o'clock. We'll call window. Make sure they're there.
And not just tickets. He hooked you up with the pass to batting practice and everything, right?
Right. There was when I called Will Call, they said there's two tickets here and a pass to batting practice. So come an hour early.
And they were tickets. They weren't just, hey, come sit, you know, in the center field bleachers and watch the game. They were behind the plate.
In section 152, row G, which is directly behind home plate, right next to where it says 1995 painted on top of the visitor's dugout.
I mean, you know, so I mean, seriously.
You can't get any closer than that.
But you can't beat that, Bruce. You're sitting there yesterday, 24 hours ago, listening to the Sports Fix, hanging out, and bling, here comes a little message. Hey, it's Mike Trout from the Angels. What the hell, man? You want to go to the game? And it's like, yeah, to me, that's cool. Number one, because it's always cool just to interact with guys. And I think it's awesome. That's one of the cool powers of the social media that we have. I mean, Bruce, you're sitting here outside of Cleveland. He's you know, out here on the West Coast, star player, big fast rising star, and yet through a social media site, you two were able to communicate, that's the cool part. When guys don't abuse it and do it wrong, that's the awesome part, is how it connects fans and athletes and teams together in a different way than it did before. So I think that's pretty cool. But I mean, I thought it was a pretty classy deal. I told a couple of people off the air last night. I said, man, that's just pretty cool. I said, that's not, especially because it's an out of town guy, which really shows me something cool, because you're not just kissing up to the local fans or the local market. Not that I mean that in a bad way, but it's one thing to take care of your fans, the fans in your town. It's another thing to do it elsewhere, which I thought was really cool, man. And tons of guys. I mean, and you know what? I wish there was social media back in the day, because I'm sure other guys, it would have been, guys would have loved to have that ability. But I know when Shaq was playing for the Cavs and other teams, but when he was for the Cavs, I saw him several times do cool things where he would take game tickets or a big pair of his shoes or something, and he'd hide them somewhere in town and then put clues
the scavenger
out.
Hunt.
Yeah, and he put clues out. Gary Barnidge did one of those last year for the Browns, which was really cool. Ben Tate, he took some. We talked about him a couple weeks ago. He took some guys to the Indians game. He gave away some jerseys and stuff. And, I get it. Sometimes I wish these guys would maybe do a little more far-reaching social stuff, you know, get into some things that are a little more uncomfortable to talk about, because it's easy to give away tickets and stuff, you know, but still, it's a cool thing, man. And there's a ton of guys. Paul Pierce was known for that in Boston, and Boobie Gibson did a lot of stuff like that when he was playing for the Cavs, and I think it's great. But I just, what a cool story it was, and I had to tell it. So I'm glad you called.
Yeah, there was a couple from Youngstown and a couple from Detroit, Michigan,
Indians
that
fans.
Had talked to him on Facebook and said they were Indians fans, and he remembered or wrote it down or something. But anyhow, they were here.
Indians fans from Detroit, baby.
Yeah, so they came down last night. I mean, they stayed to watch the game today because they weren't going to drive right back. But, it was pretty wild. There was 25 sets of tickets, they said, that he had given out. And, it was just, people that were in the Cleveland area that wanted to go to the game.
It's cool stuff, man. And like I said, I love to hear about that stuff more. It impresses me way more than if I would have heard about it on the news. You know what I mean? And I'm glad that it was one of our listeners, one of my guys that said, here's the. I was like, well, awesome, man. Like, but no publicity. Just, hey, let's hook some guys up with some tickets.
Well, what he does, I guess, from what people were telling me last night, we didn't have much time to talk because we were trying to dodge raindrops and then a downpour.
Oh, yeah.
But from what they said was that people that are followers of Mike, and then they retweet it, retweet or whatever he puts on Facebook, and he keeps track of who, what areas people, put it back out in different pages, and that's how he picks his people.
Yeah, and what I appreciate most about that is that there's a difference, too, when there's a social media person involved. A lot of these guys have people that manage their brand and manage their accounts and stuff. But then, you know, you see like that where it's the actual guy's personal Facebook reaches out to you. And I love it. But I just thought it was a cool thing, and I definitely wanted to bring it up. I'm seeing some tweets, Bruce, not to switch the subject here, but I know that you were watching it before we went on the air. I'm seeing some tweets about this Pat Riley press conference down in Miami, and some people saying this may be the greatest press conference ever because he's just down there putting it down on the big three, so to say. I was tweeted a quote, "You don't run to the door when you see failure." And I don't know. Are you watching this thing, Pat Riley's press conference?
No, I turned it to the Indians game. But he did say, you know, that somebody in the locker room has to step up, and you're going to lose. It's part of the game. So suck it up, you know. And he was actually pretty funny in most of it.
He wasn't real worried about it.
He said, "I don't have to recruit these guys. They're already here. If they don't want to be here, then that's up to them," you know. But
yeah, that's the impression I'm getting from that, too. But you mentioned to me that you were watching it, so when I asked you if I could talk about this on the air, and then I just saw some tweets come across our Twitter account. So, Indians, they're going to have to replay. You know what? What a shame with this schedule here. They're going to have to pick an off day here when the Angels come out back this way and squeeze this game in, because today was the last scheduled game for the Indians and the Angels of the season. And so that's going to be a pain in the neck whenever they get around to rescheduling that. But
yeah, there's just three dates, I believe, that they can actually redo the game. They posted it last night that when the game will be replayed. But I'm not real sure that, you know, they're not going to change the ticket thing so you can use your ticket stub at any time like they did last year for a couple of rainouts. But
this one you'll have to use it for the makeup game, right? That's why they...
The way it stands right now, but
yeah.
Depends on when it is. They usually do it at your convenience. You know, if you call the Indians and you have a brain check, they usually just say... you know, you can use it, you know, bring it in, we'll exchange it. They don't always do that, but like in this case, you know, the Angels don't come back to town. The dates are July 28th, August 14th, or September 8th. That was the next time that the Angels are in the East Coast.
So it's going to be one of those 3 days there.
One of those 3 days.
Rescheduling this here. Cool. I know if somebody would know it, Bruce would know it, man. So definitely.
July, August, and September.
And a cool story, too. I'm glad again. Thanks for letting me tell that story on the air. It was pretty cool stuff there. And too bad. I said, you get hooked up with, and then the game gets washed out, which is, of course, the downside of it. But still,
you got a free T-shirt. Well, Charles
there
Morgan
you go.
Got the T-shirt because I already promised to him. But, you know.
Those I Love shirts were nice, too. Those GV shirts, aren't they? With the
Cleveland That I Love.
Yeah, but in the letters, I like how they've got the pictures offset inside the letters. I always like that that style.
Yeah, it's not a bad shirt. And the guy looked at me like I was crazy when I said, "Hey, do you have like an extra large or a double
it's
extra
large?" It's one size fits all on those, I believe.
You gotta wear it for a nice shirt, dude. You know,
isn't it
like,
one size?
No, it's for a friend of mine.
Yeah, it's one size fits all on those usually with the T-shirts and the jerseys, right? They don't give you the option.
This is an extra large.
Oh, okay. There you go. I know the jerseys are one size fits all.
The T-shirt was an extra large.
There you go. So, but, and you have to go back out and check it out.
The guy at the will call was actually the best guy because when I called him, you know, he said, "How do you know Mike Trout?" And I said, "I don't." You know, I said, "I just talk to him online." You know, and he said, "Oh yeah, okay." You know, because I guess I was the first one to call, and you know, because I called like, you know, maybe 3:10. And then I guess he got a bunch of calls after that because when I went to pick up my tickets, the guy said, "Man," said, "I didn't know, you know, Trout was giving away tickets tonight. I would have talked to him, you know." And it was like, you know, so it was kind of weird.
That, though. Hey, so
and everybody
how
had
do you
the same
Mike?
Story when I got there. Everybody said, you know, they follow him on Facebook. They, you know, they share whatever it is that he puts online, and that's basically how it happened.
Gotta love it. How do you know Mike Trout? Facebook. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
no,
Facebook.
Really.
That's what the dude said. Oh, yeah, okay. You know, no, seriously.
I mean, I would have had the same reaction, too, because it's not every day that that happens. And that's why I thought it was worth a mention on the show, for sure. Bruce, my man, how's the? Let's see. Let's update the Indians game. We're scoreless here still, early on. No score.
Yeah, Angels have a runner on second with one out. Masterson struck out two in the first inning, by the way. His fastball's at 91, his slider's at 81, so he's just about on track.
All right, man, it'd be nice to see him. You know, say what you want about the rainout last night. I know it stinks for guys like you that went down there and all the fans, but bullpen didn't exactly mind that day off there either. That's a good thing, and if Masterson can eat up some innings here before Detroit, that'll get you in good shape. Speaking of, Detroit lost again last night to Kansas City yesterday. So Kansas City, I believe they're up a game and a half now is their lead over Detroit there. And, you know, I want the Indians. Obviously, we're going to have to fight it out with them. But it's cool to see for now
because
we got plenty of time.
Up.
That's the thing is I don't think their pitching holds up either. But I still like to see the long time down franchises have that bounce back just like we did. You know, you can't – it's not good for anybody – for the Kansas Cities, for the Clevelands, for the Oaklands, for any of those teams to go through those 10-year playoff droughts, 20 years, 28 years for the Royals. That's no good for anybody.
Okay, now, speaking of the bullpen, what's with this Outman? They're going to try to trade him or release him in 10 days? Or why Outman?
You know what? I got to be honest. I don't know. I mean, really, Terry Francona was kind of – he was pretty point blank with what he said about it, was that the emergence of Kyle Crockett and him kind of being what they basically fit. He's basically an upgraded version. That's exactly what Terry Francona said, is Outman's his role was taken by Crockett, who they believe is not only good, but he's going to get all of the leverage situations there. Outman's one place that he was doing good was against the he was pitching well against the lefties, but Zabchinski's kind of got that locked down. So really, he kind of got squeezed out of a role, and they just decided that for the remainder of this season, if the choice is between Crockett and Outman for that slot, they went with Crockett and their own young gun. So that was pretty much the direct explanation from Terry Francona. Take it for what you will. I know some people
okay.
will look at the stats.
Now, I'm
because
thinking, you know, Outman can get out left-handers.
Right.
Expert can't get out anybody.
And I hear you there, too. But I do believe there's financial considerations, too. I'm pretty sure Outman's contract is nowhere near the $4.5 million that they've got locked in on John Axford. I have no doubt about that. I would have to look it up to be exact, but I'm positive that when I look up Josh Outman's contract here, it's not going to say much money at all. I don't believe it.
Right. Probably just a little more than a league minimum. But Angels just scored on a wild pitch by Masterson. Runner went from second to third on a ground out and scored on a wild pitch.
Yeah, here's the difference is there's why. Here's your answer. Outman's got a one-year, $1.2 million contract, and you've got a $4.5 million contract sitting on John Axford. But I can hear you there, especially when you look at the stats. You know, I mean, looking outside of it, Outman, you go, all right, he's 4-0, 3.2 out of the bullpen, not doing bad. As we said, was doing better against lefties than against righties for sure. I think the righties were hitting over 300 on him, but lefties were down pretty low. But, I mean, Terry Francona said it really was less about Outman and more about Kyle Crockett, and they had a slot for a guy, and it was one of those two, and they just decided that they're going to give the meaningful appearances to Kyle Crockett. And, you know, you can question it. And here's the thing is Outman, you know, 10 days to pass through. He may go through. He may go unclaimed. They may not trade him. Who knows how that'll work out.
He want to go back to a minor league team AAA if he doesn't get, you know, picked up by another team?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, the guy's been in the league a long time. Now, I have nothing against Kyle Crockett. I mean, the guy's, you know, basically just a rookie coming up. But how, you know, we're in, I'm not saying we're in the middle of a pennant race, but we are, you know, basically still in this thing at 500.
Right.
And we're running AAA pitchers in and out like, you know, we invented it. You know, well, we have a bullpen that is overworked, and our starters are AAA caliber pitchers.
Well, but that's, I mean, well, part of the reason is they planned on, I mean, I get you on the bullpen, though. I mean, the whole explanation of one, that's the chicken and the egg, is because the bullpen's fried, they got to keep running guys up. I mean, the minor leagues are not usually full of veteran players to bring up, you know, so.
Exactly, I mean, but, you know, I remember back in the day when, you know, we didn't actually care if they brought up the whole AAA, you know, system.
Right.
Because, you know, we were out of the pennant race or out of contention by June. You know, you could bring up, you know, anybody from AAA. We didn't care, you know. But at least, you know, now, you know, we have, an opportunity here. And why, you know, all the AAA pitchers? I mean, even with Bauer and Salazar, you know, to me, they're minor league pitchers that aren't ready. You know, 5 innings, 100 pitches is not ready for the major leagues.
But I'm not exactly sure what the alternative is. Like, what would you rather they do? I mean, you can make a trade maybe for a guy, but they have multiple holes. That was something you can complain about in the preseason when they let two veteran pitchers go and decided to replace them with the guys that they, you know, that they brought up, you know. But, I mean,
My only loss in that whole deal was Kazmir. I mean, other right. than that, you know, I didn't have any problem with anybody else going.
I'm just not sure what they do here because, I mean, I get you, but where are they supposed to? I mean, you can make a trade, but you can't make four trades, you know?
No, I understand that too, but, I mean, you have to be willing to give up something to get something, and we definitely need a veteran pitcher in here. You know, I'm not saying, you know, we're going to revamp the pitching staff, but, you know, Masterson is not pitching up to Masterson capability. You know, and you know, as far as Kluber and, you know, the rest of the staff, they have their ups and downs, and you need a little bit more consistency out of it, I think.
Oh, I agree. I think there needs to be a trade made for a guy. And as a matter of fact, when we come back from the break, I'm going to keep talking Indians because I think that that's where you have to utilize. And I'm going to go with Asdrubal Cabrera. You've got to utilize an asset like that. I do believe that he can be packaged in the right trade to bring you a veteran. I'm not talking about bringing you a star pitcher, but he can bring you a veteran pitcher in here that can maybe give you. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, so many people think that the Indians have to make a trade for Randy Johnson. They don't. They have to make a trade for Ken Hill.
No.
They have to make a trade for Kenny Hill, for a guy who is under the radar. He's going to come in here, and next thing you know, 2 years later, when you're talking back, you're going, that guy was the key to the season. He came in and calmed things down. He won a couple of key games down the stretch. And I always use Kenny Hill as an example of that because he came over from, I believe it was the Cardinals, and he gave you a solid piece there. And really, he
I remember the day that happened, and the manager of the White Sox said, well, that's the difference between winning the division by 30 games or 40 games. It doesn't really matter, you know?
But you know what I'm saying? He gave you a piece heading into the postseason, and he added some solidity there into that starting rotation. So I see them making a trade for a guy like that for sure.
Yeah, I can, you know, definitely not, you know, the top echelon of the league, but, you know, somebody that has, you know, been above 500 and has been a winner.
Right.
And, you know, I'd settle for that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, somebody just, you know, to go with Masterson that has been in the league a while and can help the young guys along. Because right now our bullpen is going to be, you know, burnt out by the middle of July or 1st of August, no doubt. I mean, they got more innings than most starters in the league.
I agree. And that's another reason why I'm glad that we had some depth of young arms, bullpen arms, because, I mean, you've seen them have to go to the well consistently because of the short innings by the front, by your five and all of that. And I think we've seen that, luckily, for the Indians, first time in a long time it's been that case. That was the other thing that Mike and those guys wrote about last week that I was going to talk about is how you're seeing the payoff of having some talent down on the farm. Even if it's a year ahead, even if you're bringing it up a little bit early, they do finally have that, and they've needed those young arms. I know it's a bunch of AAA guys, but they needed that because of how much they've had to go to this bullpen.
Okay, my next question, though, is didn't Scherzer turn down like a giant contract to stay in Detroit at the beginning of the season? Well, I was thinking they need a shortstop, and I'm not one to help out Detroit in any way, but, you know, I'd be glad to trade them, 13 Eric Cabrera, you know? Maybe I can get Scherzer. He's having, a couple of bad starts in a row. I'd ask for Verlander and, just have Kate in Cleveland, but,
I'm not a trading within to the division guy at all. I hear you. But although maybe you gain for losing there by sabotaging the other team, but yeah,
sure. Well, yeah, I can always help him out with, I can send him somebody that can't catch the ball.
Scherzer,
I think I said the Morning Wood the other day that, there's 200 million people in this country. We can't find three infielders to catch a ball. it's like, good grief. Somebody's got to be able to hang on to it or at least throw it straight.
Yeah, Scherzer wants Clayton Kershaw money, man. He turned down nearly $150 million.
Speaking of Clayton Kershaw, he threw
a no-hitter
last
night. Yeah, he sure did. 15 strikeouts, too.
Yes, he did.
Great performance for him. I brought him up yesterday.
Three fly balls to the outfield.
Justice Sheffield, one of the Indians' first-round draft picks. He was the pitcher named Gatorade Player of the Year. Clayton Kershaw was one of the other ones recently in that category. That's why I said, man, if Justice Sheffield is a fraction of what you get from a guy like that, I'm with it,
Did anybody ever find out if he's related to Gary?
According to the press release from the Indians, yeah, Gary Sheffield's his uncle.
Oh, okay. Because I hadn't seen that, so yeah. I thought I'd ask. So we got, generations of players. Well, can't count the owner's kid, but I mean.
Yeah. We've got the owner's kid, we got a scout's kid, we've got an announcer's kid, we've got everybody covered here, man.
We got Harmon Killebrew's grandson.
Yes, we did.
Everything's looking up, if nothing else, we'll have, relatives of famous people.
4 or 5 years from now, we'll see how some of those guys shake out.
Hey, I remember when Buddy Bell's, David was just, like 6 years old, and his mom would ask him, can you watch him while I go to the bathroom? Sure, We used to watch David Bell sitting at the old Indians games, watching Buddy play.
Oh, yeah. Three generations deep there, man.
Yeah, they had, they didn't have any better seats than we had when we sat in box seats. They sat right with us. So, that was back in the day when you bought your own pants.
Bruce,
the team couldn't afford.
I love it, my man. I got calls coming in. I'm going to let you go, brother.
All righty.
Thank
you
for the
call. Have a good day, J-Rock.
You too. And that was an awesome story there, too. Bruce Wood, Mike Trout, pretty cool stuff. Caller, before we go to the break, you're next up on the Sports Fix.
Meaning me.
Yeah, that would be you, whoever I'm talking to.
J-Rock, Patty, what's that, the Destruction, coordinator of the madness? I'm here.
What's up? How you doing, my man?
Well, I just got one thing to say, J-Rock. I harbor no ill will towards the Sports Fix fans on Facebook who beat me up yesterday for my stand on Chief Wahoo.
Oh, yeah, I have not. Wait, did something blow up? I didn't see a big blow up. I don't know.
Oh, no, it wasn't a big blow up. I'm just picking on him, really. But it looked I was the only one in there who, I'm one of the very few Tribe fans around who actually favors bringing an end to the Chiefs.
I know you and I are on opposite ends of that one, and I do understand and appreciate. As a matter of fact, yesterday, if you, I don't think you were listening yet to the early part of yesterday's show when I even mentioned talking about that whole thing. I said, Ron, if Ron was listening right now, he'd go, but J-Rock, if even one person feels offended by it, is that a good thing? And I said, we would be having this discussion right now because I get where you're coming from. But, you know, there's a lot of depth to this conversation. And I'm of the opposite side. I'm of the in its context. And I think that that's the thing is, you know, everything else gets judged within its context. You know what I mean? And so when you look at that, it's a cartoon character, and it's not even an offensive cartoon character anymore. It used to be incredibly offensive. The old
Chief Wahoo, back in the 40s, that one there was much worse.
Even in the 70s, I mean, the old big nose Chief Wahoo was a caricature of a Native American person that was not flattering. I can understand that. But the one that we've got now, it's not even a caricature of a person. It's a cartoon character. But I know that you have a whole opposite take on that.
Well, you know, and as far as the cartoon character is concerned, that's one of the things that I like to poke fun at other fans about. You know, when they give me grief about the Chief, I always say, listen, you're Elmer Fudd, and your wife and your kids are Fudd.
What?
I mean, if we're going to go with cartoon characters, let's, you know, take it all the way. Anyway, I got a couple of things to say about that. I don't think the end of the Chief is coming soon. Not even if the Washington Redskins change their name. One thing you and I can definitely agree on is that the Chief is one of the most well-known, marketable, and well-loved icons in all of professional sports. That it's just not going away anytime soon. I think the Indians have done an awful lot by de-emphasizing the Chief and often having the, you know, the block C on the cap.
Yeah.
But it's not going away. And I understand that. I've often said that if the Chief ever does go away for whatever reason, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. And I still don't really think it will.
I think what I said yesterday, I stick by it. I think that the minute the Washington Redskins name thing comes to some finality, I think that is the day that Chief Wahoo becomes public enemy number one, and instantly that is the next cause that people go rush after to jump on, and it will quickly be a bigger deal than it's ever been. I truly believe the only reason it's not is because the Redskins is the big trophy horse to take down first and put up on the wall, and then they're coming for the Chief. They are. I have no doubt about it.
Well, they probably are. Maybe there'll be people with pitchforks and you know, flaming brands or something like that. I don't know, but I got to tell you, J-Rock, I don't care about generic liberals who don't care about my team. What they want matters not to me at all. What I care about is my team having a good team. I care about my fans, even if they disagree with me. And you know, if it comes to that, I want Cleveland fans to be the ones that really drive whatever decision gets made.
And see, there's the biggest place that I'm at with it, because, and I mentioned the Plain Dealer poll yesterday. I mean, across the board, polls we've done, polls the PD has done, polls that have been done on national sites in Cleveland and in Ohio, and pretty much that's the, you're talking about the fan base. I mean, I've never seen less than 65% support for keeping the Chief. And to me, that says what I said yesterday, that there are some people that don't like it, but it is a solid majority that don't have a problem. And until that changes, then you can get rid of anything you want, but I don't think that that's what the people want. I don't think it's like you said. I don't think it's what the people want. Now, once you get where it's more divisive than that, but when it's 2/3 to 1/3, that's where I say, but But this is where you'll come in and say, well, what about that one-third? So they should feel bad about it. I'm not saying that they should, but when people go up for president, one side wins and one side loses, and even if it was 51-49, the other 49 have to deal with what the wishes of the 51 were, if that makes sense.
Well, you know, for the one person, J-Rock, we have me. I mean, I am willing to, you know, be in the minority.
Of
and
course.
Show some empathy for the 1% or however few are exactly are really hurt by the logo. But I understand where the majority is coming from. And even if I disagree with the majority and continue to take my own stand, I'm going to go along with it because that's the way this country is built.
I mean, I'm telling you, I'm curious. I mean, I'd love to do a whole show about the argument of this both ways, but I never get arguments either way. It just, everybody's just got their side. I would much rather discuss it, you know, because, and one of the biggest things is the number, and I will say this, and maybe the Redskins and Chief Wahoo are different, but, you know, looking at it from here in Cleveland, Ron, you've seen, now I get it, you can take that picture with the idiot drunk guy with his face paint on, and you can use that as an emotional firing point, because it was a terrible picture, and it by itself just gave the wrong image. But guess what? If you pan back from that quote-unquote protest that they have every year consists of less than a dozen people standing out in front of the stadium and complaining. And to me, that's not even like a large group of people. That is a handful of people. And if that's the case, I mean, I think you would get a larger protest for many other things before changing the name. And so that's what I'm saying is I don't even think that the group of people that it quote-unquote affects, it affects that much. Because if it did, I think you'd see a hell of a lot more people there, more protests, more of all of that. I mean, I see bigger protests and arguments over extending the syntax than people that show up to protest the Indians every opening day. It's a dozen people. And I'm not trying to minimize their feelings, but you can't change the world for the really small, silent minority.
Well, I agree with you on that. I mean, the turnouts for the protests have been very small. There are no doubt reasons for that. But, you know, the reasons are not your fault or my fault or the tribe's fault. I mean, basically, we have to go with what we see. What concerns me when there is a protest is the necessity that some of the fans feel, like the drunk face-painted fan you referred to before, the necessity these fans feel to get in the face of others who disagree.
See, that
If you're already, if your opinion is the one that's already on top, what can you have to gain by stomping on the one who's not on top?
I'm with you there. That's what I mean. Like, I would rather sit down and have you say, man, here's why we don't like it. Here's this, this, and this. And then we can talk and have a discourse and all of that. I'm with you. That to just have some drunk guy stagger up, hey, you're ruining our good time. That's stupid. That's the stuff that Deadspin lives on so that they can get it and go, hey, look, this is what happens in Cleveland. They mock Native Americans to their face and take pictures of it, you know, and But that's not,
that makes
you know,
me sad. I don't want Cleveland to look bad ever, ever, ever.
No, you know, so, but I agree with you. Instead of that, I would much rather, and I would love it to have that discussion. Because again, not enough people vocalize to me, to anybody else that is a Chief Wahoo guy, what it is that, it, you know, because again, I think, and I always say this. If you're talking about other incarnations of Chief Wahoo, I agree with you. But I think that they have changed its visage so much over the last couple of decades that it is, to me, it's just an innocuous cartoon character, no different than Sparty the Spartan or Moondog, the whatever Moondog is, the Moondog, whatever. Or, you know what I mean? Sully, the pelican at the Lake Erie Monsters. I don't know what Sully is either, but you know what I'm saying. A mascot. You know, Slider. We've got Slider.
Yeah, well, nobody knows what Slider is either.
Exactly. And Muppets aren't protesting. You know, we don't know what Slider is. But, no, all joking aside, I look at the Chief's visage now more like that, just a logo, just, you know what I mean? But again, well, I wish somebody else could go the other way.
And then I'll get out of the way, J-Rock.
Go for it.
You got a whole bunch of stuff you want to do, but I got just one thing I want to say about that. If you want to have a really good show about the Chief, then what you want to do is maybe you get some person who can actually speak reasonably about taking the Chief away, someone who is not white. You know what I mean?
I understand that. I would
gladly
talk to
someone who can speak reasonably.
I would gladly have that conversation.
And you also need to be able to get, you have to get the fans to tell you, you know, not why we should keep the Chief, but what the Chief means to them in terms of their personal association with the team. I mean, does it make us feel, you know, does it make us think about baseball games we've seen? About the times we've gone to the games with our dad? You know what I mean?
Right.
What does it do for us? That's what I'd like to hear.
I mean, that's definitely it with me. I mean, to me, it's one of the most iconic as far as, I think when you see Chief Wahoo in Osaka, Japan. We were talking about that earlier. If we see, if you see him across the world, I think a sports fan of American sports would go Cleveland Indians logo. You know what I mean? Like certain ones, I think, are identified with the team. Me, I mean, that's exactly what it is to me. Although, of course, talking about those old in politically correct Chief Wahoos, you of course the one that used to be on top of the stadium, the with the bat there in the cockpit.
Oh yeah, you're talking about like at the beginning of Major League.
Yeah, exactly. But it's tied to me as a kid, man. I mean, the Chief, you know, I remember, plus I grew up on, you know, 43 was broadcasting all the games. So our tribe, our town, with the Chief Wahoo in the corner of the screen, you know. And hey, what can I say, man? So it's definitely 100% for me tied in with the team. I mean, I could not imagine. I'm just being honest. I could not imagine the Indians with a different logo. I couldn't imagine it.
Do you find that when they come out on the field wearing Block C, that it's harder to see these images that you're talking about?
No, I'm not saying that. Listen, if they switched it now, I mean, it's a letter on a hat. I wouldn't be happy about it, but it's not like I'm going to boycott the Indians, but I would boycott that politically correctness won over again and that yet another thing was changed because a few people didn't like it. That's the thing, just in society in general. I just hate that we have created a society where nobody is allowed to be offended by anything. And I'm not saying that you should be. I get it. Don't think I'm bullying here, Ron. I know you're a bullying guy. I'm not saying that.
Well, we're going to talk about that another day.
I'm not saying my opinion is right, and if you don't agree with it, I'm going to run over top of you. But I believe that when you have 100 people in a room, if 90 people are okay with something and 10 aren't, I just don't believe that you change the laws of the 100 to fit the 10. And that's just my belief in things that I think in society we do, not just in sports, but I think this falls right into that category. And that's what I mean by the size of the crowds. I'm not saying 50,000 people should be out there, but I mean, even if you had 1,000 people or 500 people out there, I would go, man, there's a large group of people here that's not happy about this. But when it's under a, you know, when you can count it on two hands and have fingers left over, that's telling me that it is not truly a significant concern of the actual people. It's a concern, like you said, of the liberals, of the political people that want to fight it, that have no care about the actual cause. And that's what I think is the deal with Chief Wahoo. I don't think there's actually enough people really offended by it, and it's more some people's cause that they've picked up.
Yeah, I'll go along with that there, because that also seems to be the way America works. It's almost like there are hordes and hordes of people out there who are looking for something to get angry about. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. The world's full of them, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And I don't want to be that guy. The life is too short to spend angry, regardless of the reason. You know, you want to make a difference in the world and let it be a positive difference.
I agree with you. And I can't tell you how many people I've seen in my old life, in my own life, older relatives, older friends, associates, people that, they reach the stage where the kids have moved out or they've split from the spouse or whatever. And a lot of people will call it empty nest syndrome or stuff. People look for things to get into and causes to take up. And next thing you know, somebody that didn't care about birds 3 days ago is now, you know, walking around with signs on the front lawn saying free the birds. And they've now taken up. And what I'm saying is you quickly see people look for causes to get into and then become fanatics overnight, and meanwhile the actual people are not involved anymore. It's become somebody else's cause to take up, and really that's what, to me, there's a different argument to be made for Redskins than for Chief Wahoo. I just believe, and I truly do, I think, okay, you can at least make the fact that the word Redskins is considered a racial slur to Native Americans, even though I believe in its context it's not, because I can make you, how about this? I can make you a similar argument, since we're talking real quick Redskins, is, when we talked last year about the NFL wanting to put fines on players if they dropped the N-bomb while they were playing the game. And all the players came out, and I've talked to guys off the air that say, hey man, that's just the way we talk on the field, and it's accepted and it's part of the culture, and okay. And I give you that only because it's within the context, because if it's used in a different way, then it's offensive. So in that context of being on the football field and being part of it, according to you, it's okay. Well, to me, when I use the term Washington Redskins, I am in no way defaming anybody. I am referring in context only to a football team. So I believe that that's the argument that I make there for why you leave it alone, but that's different. That's the Redskins. Chief Wahoo, totally different.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah, it's a completely different discussion there, and I don't even want to get into it with the Redskins because, frankly, I don't love them.
No. Well, anyway,
it's nice talking to you about it, J-Rock. It's nice to always discuss something with somebody reasonable. But I'm going to go ahead and let you have your phone line back. No doubt others want to talk to you about stuff.
You got it. My man, Ron, great phone call, man.
All right, we'll talk to you later, J-Rock.
All right, awesome. See, I love it. Discourse, let's do it. Matter of fact, wow. Two phone calls and some story time later, and we blew through hour one of the show. We haven't even taken the first break yet. I love it. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation here on the other side of the break. The Sports Fix rolls on. Hour two coming your way. Oh, man. Next here on the Sports Fix.
The Sports Fix, the show that asks the question.
What you talking about, Lou? What you talking about, Lou? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about, Lou? What you talking about? What you talking about, Lou?
We'll be right back.
Before we go to the break, guys, I want to talk to you just a second about our friends at GV Art and Design. Baseball's here once again. Cleveland, of course, excited, and GV Artwork teaming up with the Indians, and they're both going to knock it out of the park this season. And listen to some of the new designs they've got for Cleveland baseball fans everywhere. They've dug out an old classic, and they're bringing the heat with the new Wild Thing, Give 'em the Heater Ricky design. GV Artwork is teaming up with Cleveland fan favorite Michael Brantley and created a custom Dr. Smith Smooth t-shirt. Plus, don't forget, they've got the Cleveland That I Glove collection, new tribal and Cleveland That I Love designs for women, and so much more. You can get GV Artwork designs on the website, gvartwork.com. And don't forget to use the sales code FIX10. That's FIX10, and you'll save 10% on your purchase. Or you can check out their new store in Lakewood on Detroit Avenue. Check them out in the Indians team shops and so much more. Cleveland That We All Love, GV Art and Design. It's not just a shirt, it's a statement.
Hey, Sports Fix fans, I'm Fred McLeod, TV voice for the Cavaliers. When I'm not busy taking elbows for my buddy Austin Carr, I'm tuning in to see what the guys are saying. Come on, Cavs!
The engines are cranking and purring, and that can only mean one thing. Bike nights are back at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Rev up your hogs and head on down to Harry Buffalo North Olmsted every Monday night. Enjoy $3 drinks and beers,
$5 pizzas,
and crazy wing specials for all bikers, all on their open patio.
Woo-hoo!
Hot bikes, good friends, and great times are waiting for you. 4824 Great Northern Boulevard, right outside Great Northern Mall. Monday bike nights at Harry Buffalo, the proud sponsor of the Sports Fix. Sports Fix listeners, like us on Facebook today. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix.
At the corner of Carnegie and Ontario,
it's basketball time at the Q.
Have you gotten your copy of Cleveland's Finest yet? Highlighting the best moments, players, and media members in Cleveland sports history? In-depth, personal interviews with some of the top names in Cleveland sports fill the pages of this incredible book.
Joe Day.
Fred McLeod.
Hector Marinaro.
Discussing the most intimate and sometimes controversial details of the largest moments in our town's sports history.
The Indians have won the divisional title.
A perfect game for Lynn Barker.
What a win for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Their first time in a playoff.
It's the first book written from the players' point of view, with the media that covered it and the fans that watched. Finally, the true stories are told. From a miracle in Richfield to the NBA Finals.
The Detroit Pistons have been booby-trapped.
From a perfect game to a World Series one pitch from victory. From a Wildcat High School dynasty to the golden days of the Browns, Barons, and Crunch, this book will change the way the entire sports nation looks at Cleveland.
Cleveland, you will have an October to remember.
Cleveland's Finest by Vince McKee is this year's must-have book for every Cleveland sports fan. Available now at Amazon.com.
Get your copy today.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, home of the low price tire guarantee. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
You're listening to the Sports Fix.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the kind of cold.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, Hour 2, Dose, baby, live here on thesportsfix.net. You guys, that was your hour right there. Callers on the phone lines, gotta love it. We were all over the place. I cannot believe. I mean, looking at my format, looking at my notes and everything we were getting into today, I'm like way up here at the top of the page, but it's all good, man. And, hey, you know what, actually, it works out well, you guys. You know, sometimes good things, the best things happen by accident anyway. I'll rearrange some things here. I'd much rather talk to Mike Brandenberry about his articles tomorrow while he's actually on the show with us anyway. But speaking of articles, I want to dive into this. I told you about it at the beginning of the show. And as we did to kick things off, the phone lines are open, baby. Pick up the phone and give us a call. So many of you. The biggest battle I have with some of you guys is that is the battle to get through on the phone line sometimes, because the different delays and the having guests on the phone, and sometimes it's amazing. I'll see all the missed calls afterwards and the numbers and go, man, I'm sorry, man. But anyways, today, not the case. Phones are open, 216-539-7535. Anything you want to talk about, 216-539-7535. Tweet with us. Ron's handling the tweets at the Sports Fix CLE. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/thesportsfix. Email us, thesportsfix@AOL.com. Indians game, by the way, rolling on. Angels up 1-0, but the Indians threatening here. Couple of runners on. Matter of fact, they've just tied that game at 1-1. Runner at third, bottom of the third inning. So we will continue to update you on that one as the game goes on. Indians in the final game of this series here now. Welcome back into the show. J-Rock back with you. Sports Fix rolling on. And I talked about articles. I wanted to talk about a couple that referenced the Browns. One current, one in the past. But Dan Wismar actually fired one off to me this morning. He goes, hey, Jerry, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but you might want to talk about this on the show. And, of course, I laughed at first because it was our good friend Peter King from Sports Illustrated and the Monday Morning Quarterback. And, of course, as I said, not Cleveland's favorites. He's been known to troll the Cleveland fan a time or two. But, you know, the accidental coach of the Cleveland Browns. I quoted that wrong earlier, not the unwanted coach. The accidental coach of the Cleveland Browns is the name of the article, and it's about Mike Pettine. And I'll tell you what, I'm not sitting here telling you to, you know, fire up the you know, the jet to go to the Super Bowl or anything like that. All I'm saying is, you know, this was a good piece. Greg Bedard put it together, and a good piece about Mike Pettine, his background, the defense that he is putting together for the Cleveland Browns, a little bit about his resume, a little bit about how he got to where he's at. Of course, everybody knows the high school part of it. First high school head coach to end up with an NFL head coaching job since Dick Vermeil. And that's going back a ways there, 76 when the Eagles hired him out of UCLA. But Mike Pettine, he's been, you know, he goes through his career, gives you kind of the rundown, the Ravens, the Jets, the Bills, the different things that we know, the whole off season, and really it's kind of interesting, some notes too about, you know, Pettine. Not only was he not supposed to get the job, but he did not expect to even get the job. He didn't even want to interview, but he thought it was a wasted. There was no real opportunity for him to get hired. It says the only reason that he took the interview was his agent who pushed him. Hey, next year you're going to be out there doing interviews, so you might as well get some interview experience here. And boom, next thing you know, he finds himself with the job, which, you know, it's always funny. You tell somebody, hey, I can do this, I could do that, I could do this better, I can whatever. And then they give you what you didn't expect them to give you. And you go, oh, all right, now I got to do this. And that's kind of where he was. But, you know, it goes through what I found really intriguing was looking through a lot of his philosophies. We've talked about the defense. And listen, it's one thing. We did this last year with the whole Ray Horton, the attacking defense, and all these things that were supposed to happen. And so I'm not going to sit here and tell you 800 reasons why this is the steel curtain all over again here. But you look at the way he explains, and I'll post this article for you guys as we go through. The way he explains the philosophy of this coaching staff defensively and on the offensive side too, although obviously most of this is defensively focused, but you know, the quarterbacks too. So he was very, very out front with what he said. There wasn't a lot of coach speak, if you will, even with the quarterbacks. I mean, you know, he talked about when they made their draft here this year, quote from the article. He said, "We honestly felt that this entire draft class, every single quarterback was going to need a redshirt year to sit behind somebody. And Johnny, being Johnny Manziel, was the only one that even had an outside chance to be a starter on opening day." He said, "It could happen, but in the ideal world, in my ideal world, it's not happening on opening day." I mean, very open about how they went into it. And that's where I think people misquote the narrative of the Browns. They did not change their plan because they drafted John Manziel. I mean, clearly going into it, and this was really the feeling that we all got. I mean, everybody was just, they like Carr, they like this guy, they like that guy. That was all true because they liked everybody some, but there was none of them that just said, hey, and the one was obviously the one that they got, and even him, they didn't go up higher to get him. They took him when he fell to them where the value was on it. And I liked how he said that they decided no matter how much we need a quarterback, No matter how much we need it, we are not taking one at number four. I don't matter. It does not matter if every quarterback's on the board. We weren't going to do it just because we were going to follow the model of teams like Seattle and like San Francisco. Same thing at the quarterback position. He said, we know that we need to build a team that can win and a quarterback who's not going to lose the game for you. And I think that's key. That's key right there. It has nothing to do with everybody says, who's the guy that's going to win? More often than not in the NFL, it's unless you've got that one in a million guy, it's having quarterbacks that don't lose. And he, I'll tell you, here was an interesting line too about their evaluation of John Manziel's college play. And this is directly from Coach Pettine. He has a tendency to make big plays, but he has a tendency to keep both teams in the game. And I think that's a very interesting telling remark there too, because it speaks to their worries about him being reckless, about him being too much of a gunslinger. And they know that if they can you know, work on honing that side of his game, that they feel that they've got somebody that they think could develop into somebody special. So, but you know, I'm more intrigued getting off of the quarterback side of things. I'm more intrigued at looking on the defensive side and hearing what he says. And one of the most interesting things to me, because for so long we've looked at these Browns every year, and even when they've had quote-unquote strong starting levels of talent in certain positions, defensively, the drop-off, when you would see injuries, when you would see guys playing out of position. And now speaking it in June and July is different than seeing how it plays at the end of the season. But I like the fact that one of the biggest things that they talk about doing defensively is teaching everybody's job. And so in any given play, even though the set would be similar, the setup would be the same, everybody has a different role each time you run the same play as well, which I like that from the aspect of when you get depth issues, when you get guys hurt, when you have things like that. I like the idea that you can have guys that can do other guys' job, not just next up on the depth chart, but sometimes you don't have to go down to the number two. If you're able to make some switches, move some things around, have another guy who picks up the slack. And I like that. I like that aspect of it too. And here was something interesting. He talked about the defensive IQ and kind of insulted the Buffalo defense that he coached last year. Not insulted, but you know, kind of put in place. He said that this defense here is picking things up at a much faster rate than his Bills defense did last year. And he said, I'm not saying that we were dumb in Buffalo, but that this group here as a group processes what we're teaching them much quicker than what was happening last year. So, you know, there's another thing. Sometimes being too complicated, and I think that we saw that with some of the previous regimes, is sometimes overcoaching. You see that as an aspect too. So, you know, but having a football IQ, it has nothing to do with that. That doesn't have to do with size and speed and skill set. Football IQ is different. There's some people that just get it. Sports IQ. I see guys in all sports sometimes that just, you know, you could call it that feel for the game, that intrinsic, just intangible. It's not just a talent. It's not just something learned. It's something intrinsic that you have, that just natural understanding for the game. That's why, you know, when you call a quarterback Joe Cool, like Joe Montana, like he's got that feel for the game. That's how they stay calm. It's not that they're not, you know, that they're unusually calm. It's that they're within the flow and they understand timing, how much time's left, how much time it takes to get down the field, all of that stuff. They process it a little bit faster. So, I'm curious to see, again, look, all of this stuff here, when you apply it out on the field, it's going to be, hey, then there's no, it's not just talk. It's not just sitting here, but just listening and looking at how they're going about and seeing what they've done in the camp so far with the defense. I'm telling you, I know the focus is on the quarterbacks and Johnny Football and all of this stuff for training camp, but my biggest focus that I'm excited the most to see is this defense. I want to see how these pieces fit within the scheme that they're going with. And I'm curious too with this coaching staff, and this was a little something that was alluded to in here as well about them, you know, coming with many of them coming from the same thing too. Because I've often wondered, with, you know, look at last year and look at some of the group that was put together. Were they? I don't want to use that a dream team type thing, but the idea was we're going to get all these different guys from different backgrounds. We're going to put them all together. But sometimes I wonder if that's not a setback too, because they're not all on the same page. They've all been there. I'm not saying that. Listen, these are all guys that have played, you know, been coached 15, 20 years. I get that. But I'm just saying, you know, sometimes familiarity does breed success. And perhaps being a rookie head coach, the best thing for him was having much of the guts of his defensive staff here being guys that worked side by side with him last year, which at least puts all the coaches on the same page with the system that you're going to have. I truly felt that there were times last year that the various coaches were not exactly on the same page with things, especially as things started to fall apart last season. Everybody had different ideas on how to fix it, on what everybody was doing wrong. And we know that there was front office, there was tumultuousness there. So it was more than just one thing going on. But so I really do. Looking at this, and again, I encourage you guys to read it. I'm going to put it up on our Facebook, on our Twitter for you guys to check it out. But I thought it was pretty cool, and I liked the way it, the way that they went about kind of explaining the different techniques, the positions, how they wanted, but, you know, each guy kind of cross-training a little bit. And there's never anything, but I mean, businesses do that all the time. Cross-training guys to do multiple things. It's not just filling gaps when a guy goes out, because if that's not what I'm explaining here. It's actually explaining guys how to line up in the same set, and you could do it three times in a row, and each time everybody's got a completely different responsibility in it. And I like that, from a confusing the offense side, from that aspect, from filling gaps when you've got changes that happen in the depth chart and all of that. But again, I like that kind of cross training of the guys there. So it's a good article. It goes into a lot in depth, talks a lot about the changes offensively with Kyle Shanahan and what he's bringing, the tempo that they plan to run. He talked about how people already expect the Browns to be ground and pound, and he wants to score points, but I think he knows the reality is they're definitely going to be putting the ball on the ground there. But anyways, so check this out. It's a pretty good one there, and as I said, I'll post that on our social media, the Monday Morning Quarterback article. Dan Wismar, glad that he sent that to me, and he was right. A good piece on the unknown of Mike Pettine as we head into camp here too. And I'll tell you, speaking of articles about guys, this has nothing to do with on the field, but every bit, not every bit is important, way more important than what happens on the field. Plain Dealer, a nice piece if you guys haven't had a chance to check it out, on Reggie Rucker, of course, the former Cleveland Browns receiver. And I talked, you know, it's one thing at the beginning of the show, I was talking about Mike Trout hooking up Bruce and hooking up fans around Cleveland with tickets to come see a game, and that's awesome. And Shaq used to leave shoes, and Ben Tate gives out jerseys, and, you know, Gary Barnage gave out an Xbox and all kinds of stuff. That's cool, and that's all really cool stuff that athletes do. But when I mentioned that sometimes I wish they'd be a little more risky, sometimes I wish they'd be a little more... when I say the word political, I mean it in a good way. I don't mean it is in playing politics and that. I don't mean the bad connotation of political, but be more risky. Dive into things that you've got to sink your teeth into, social issues, things that that you could actually maybe use your position to make some change. Sometimes it's easy to give out tickets. But, you know, Reggie Rucker, a great piece about him and some of the work that he does here out in the community. Working with, I'll tell you what, so many different groups, the Boys and Girls Club, just, you know, again, it's one thing to have the position to do something. It's another thing to use it and to be out there and actually making changes in people's lives. Because that's what gets me so frustrated with athletes. It's not a financial thing that they don't give money away, because it was funny when I was going to do the Trout thing. You know, I was Google searching athletes who are known for being givers, not financially. I was looking for the tickets and things like that. I was looking, I didn't want to leave people out when I started talking about stuff like that. And, you know, I wanted to give credit where credit was due. And when you look that up, the first thing you see is people want to give you lists of the athletes that give the most money. And see, to me, there's a difference between writing somebody a check. Not that money is not good. I mean, obviously, it takes money to fund buildings and scholarship funds and group homes and help and all of that. I get all of that. But it's so easy for a guy, just like writing the check to the IRS every year. You write the check for the charitable, the foundation. Every player, every athlete's got a foundation nowadays. And it's just writing a check or going out and riding a bike or making an appearance or whatever. And I like guys that much more of their work is less financial and it's more mentoring, it's hands-on, it's nurturing, there's so many different terms I could use, but it's being active, mobilizing in the community and meeting people and finding problems, finding solutions to problems. And Reggie Rucker is a guy out there doing it in our own community, and the Plain Dealer put some focus on it, and it deserves that most definitely. I mean, so it's so much easier for those guys to get some attention, to get people to listen too. It's different to hear it from somebody that's not right there, that's not attainable and reachable, and it's different to hear it from the average Joe or hear it from your dad or from the pastor or from the guy at the end of the street. But you have more influence too when you're an athlete, because you know a guy may not be apt to listen even to Jerry or Steve or Fashawn or anybody when they make a comment, but when he hears it from a guy that he watched on the field, a guy that's got the, you know, whether it's the athletic respect or the street cred or the whatever it is, you have more of an ability to reach inside of people and help out. And Vashon, perfect comment to wrap that up. Time is the most valuable gift you can give. And I agree. Not trying to go on some, preaching tangent there, but, a couple of good examples today that we've talked about in today's show of athletes, you know, being in the headlines for more than just being at the airport and causing a scene or, you know, getting a speeding ticket, doing 50 miles over the speed limit or whatever, you know. Reggie Rucker epitomizes what I'm talking about, a guy that gives back more than he got. And I'm not just talking about financially. If more guys did it, I mean, the world would be a better place. And I don't mean it to preach against athletes. I just don't think the guys realize how much easier somebody will listen to somebody whose poster is up on their wall than they will to somebody who is teaching a class or in a position of authority. So anyways, check those out, and I'll post those articles later. Reggie Rucker, and a good piece on him in the Plain Dealer, and Monday Morning Quarterback by Peter King, Sports Illustrated, a great piece on the Browns' new head coach, Mike Pettine. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll update the Indians game. We'll talk about this Cavaliers situation and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Plenty more Sports Fix still to come. Last chance for you to get in on the phones. 216-539-7535. 216-539-7535. Don't go anywhere. The Sports Fix will be right back, Danny. Just tell the DJ to play your favorite tune. Then you know it's okay. What you found is happening.
We here at the Sports Fix want to make all of your dreams come true.
What about my dream?
Edith, I told you I can't build your candy house. It will fall down. The sun will melt the candy. It won't work.
It will if it never rains.
Oh, maybe not all of them. Get your fix on the Sports Fix.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, I want to talk to you a little bit again about our good friends at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Of course, you know during Brown season, we're there each and every week. What a fun time it was last year. But not just that, so many more reasons for you to check out the Harry Buffalo today. The UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championships, some of the hottest fights in the world today. Each and every one of their huge events. Harry Buffalo is one of the few places in Northeast Ohio you can go there and watch each and every UFC fight at the Harry Buffalo. And let me tell you, I've been there. The people are out the door. They are to the rafters. It is one of the craziest environments for some UFC fights. Wing Mondays, they've got great deals on wings and drinks. And every day of the week, there's a different special, a different deal. And don't forget the Bison Burger, the unbelievable. It is the combination of a fantastic burger and eating healthy combined into one unbelievable sandwich. You have got to get a Bison Burger while you're there. So whatever you're looking for, whatever day of the week, Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sundays, there's something for you at the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted just outside Great Northern Mall. Check them out today. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
This is head coach Gary Waters at Cleveland State, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Whether it's an oil change or a new set of tires, Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck has you covered for your automotive car care needs. They're your neighborhood quick service experts. They also offer a low price tire guarantee. Choose from 13 brands, and if you find the same tires at a lower price within 30 days, Quick Lane at Valley Ford will refund the difference. They're open late Monday through Thursday until 9 p.m. and open early Saturday so you can check it off your to-do list and get on with your day. They also have a newly remodeled service lounge and additional service bay just for Quick Lane oil changes. Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck is located at 5715 Canal Road, right under the 480 Bridge in Valley View, just down the road from Independence. 5715 Canal Road, right under the 480 Bridge in Valley View, just down the road from Independence. Come see why life is better in the Quick Lane, quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck. That's quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners, terrestrial or internet. The Sports Fix universe is not only the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park right here on the Sports Fix.
The Sports Fix is now available every day on the world's largest internet radio service, iHeartRadio. Download the free iHeartRadio app, subscribe to the show, and get your fix.
Newsbreak. Good morning, I'm Bob Picozzi. This just in, U.S. Soccer made it official moments ago, announcing that forward Jose Altidore will miss Sunday night's World Cup game against Portugal with a strained left hamstring. He suffered the injury in last Monday's opening win over Ghana. Colombia and the Ivory Coast both won their World Cup openers. They'll meet today in Brasilia, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. England and Uruguay at 2:30 Eastern. Japan and Greece, 5:30 Eastern. All three matches live on ESPN TV and some of these ESPN radio stations. There have been two no-hitters in baseball this season, both pitched by Dodgers. Last night in Los Angeles, Clayton Kershaw walked none and struck out 15 in an 8-0 win over Colorado.
I mean, you don't really ever think about getting to do something like that. So, you always think about winning a World Series or, you know, being a part of that. As far as individual stuff goes, though, this ranks up there pretty cool.
Only one Colorado batter reached base on a Hanley Ramirez error in the seventh. First round of the U.S. Women's Open at Pinehurst, the leaders at 2 under par. Stacey Lewis and Emma Talley through 7 holes. Lucy Lee is 4 over through 10 holes.
It's avocado season at Subway. Add rich, creamy avocado to any sub or salad. Even try it on your favorite breakfast sandwich. Hurry in for this delicious superfood all avocado season long. Subway, eat fresh.
To the Sports Fix.
She's a Welcome back to the Sports Fix live here on the sportsfix.net. We are deep into hour two here, and J-Rock back with you here. Phone lines are open for the final segment, 216-539-7535. Indians update as that game goes on, tied at one in the fifth inning is the last update I have on the game. I will double check that here for you in just a second. I've got a score of 1-1 here. We are in the fifth inning. Masterson still going for the Indians. And, of course, that game, we'll talk about the final results of it tomorrow. By the way, during the break, I got a chance to go read the transcript of that press conference we were referring to earlier with Pat Riley. And my man Pat Riley went to work. Hey, I'm no Heat guy at all, obviously. LeBron, all of that stuff. And Pat Riley put the collusion squad together, but he put it down. He said, you know what? I think I know how to keep LeBron in Miami. I'm going to insult his pride a little bit and see if I can't sting him. And you know what? He's a master psychologist, so he may very well just be onto something, but he definitely took a couple of shots. It's almost like he anticipates the decision, the jailbreak part two. He can already feel LeBron with his bags out the door, regardless of where you think he's gonna end up. Here's a couple of those quotes. This stuff is hard. You gotta stay together if you've got the guts. Don't find the first door and run out of it. Stay together if you've got the guts. Tell me that that's not a little competitive jab right there, saying, well, you go ahead and leave, but you'd be a coward if you did. Now, he didn't need the guts to stay in Cleveland, don't forget. When Pat Riley convinced him then that he had to have the guts to leave and take advantage of the opportunity. Now it's about having the guts not to leave when the going gets tough. Let's see, there was another comment out there. We're going to find out what we're made of here. It's not about having options. It's not about free agency. When you are a team, you deal with it. And a couple of other quotes that he had in there, and I got a kick out of it. Anyway, especially looking at the irony of Pat Riley now being in the Dan Gilbert seat from 2010, knowing that no matter what he says, at the end of the day, all of the power in this thing is in the hands of the guy and not in the hands of him or the team. And Pat Riley's not used to that, but I love it. I guarantee you, if you had a mouse in the room during all of those collusion discussions, Pat Riley, no doubt, told LeBron at that time that he had to have the guts to make a hard decision to grab greatness. And now he's got to have the guts not to run away when the going gets tough. You got to love the irony just dripping out of that situation there. Anyways, speaking of, hey, let's talk hoops a little bit. Oh, here, talking about dripping with irony and sarcasm, that idiot troll Bill Simmons, we talked about him. We talked about him several times before. He made his comments during the draft lottery about the Cavaliers. Now he's just trolling Cavs fans here. His latest article, I guess he's got a take out there of the Cavaliers not only landing LeBron James this summer, but bringing Carmelo Anthony with him to Cleveland to join up with Kyrie Irving and create a new squad, his new big three here in Cleveland and all of that. He gave it plus 400 odds, and I'm like, get out of it. You don't give it odds. You are just trolling the fan base of Cleveland, hoping to get whatever the I don't know what reaction. I don't know if you were looking for the good one or the bad one, but Bill Simmons is trolling Cleveland today, so be on the lookout for that one right there. Talking hoops, though, I mentioned it at the beginning of the show, the two things surrounding the Cavaliers. About the coaching thing, we talked about Blatt, and I said, hey, I thought that if the Cavs were hot on this guy, that we may hear something by the time we came on today, that they may make an offer, but I think the ball's out of their hands, because if you guys have probably caught up by now, I know that it was in the newspaper this morning, but that yesterday one of the top journalists from the Israeli covering the basketball, basically it's the equivalent of an ESPN channel, tweeted out several things. He's very close with David Blatt after his interview. He tweeted out that it went well. It was, quote, a good talk, which is not the most uplifting of terms to use. And then his final note, people close to David Blatt advise him to join Golden State as assistant over diving into head coach role in Cleveland. Now, you can read that one of two ways. You can read that as damage control, that he came out of the interview and did not feel that that he was going to be the front runner for the job. I disagree. I think the Cavs were hot on him. Like I said, I thought only he could cost himself the job as far as that went. But perhaps, you know, perhaps he is he and maybe he and I got to tell you, I think this is where the Mike Brown thing. I got to tell you, I think this is where the Mike Brown thing hurts the Cavs. Obviously, same problem that the Browns had. You can say anybody, anybody is the correct answer. Anybody will take your money and will take your job. But, you know, if I'm David Blatt, and we're not even discussing his candidacy right now, but if I'm leaving for the first time, I'm leaving my safety net and I'm coming over to the NBA and I've got a couple of opportunities, obviously, knowing that the last guy that sat in my chair signed a 5-year contract with guaranteed money, big bucks, and he was still out of a job within a year, the last thing you want to do is start your NBA career with a one and done or a bad situation or an unstable situation. So I think that even if he was the guy, perhaps he may be scared off by that point, which brings Alvin Gentry right back into it. I told you guys yesterday that I think if Blatt falls through, I think he became a hot late candidate for the Cavaliers. I think if that is not the way they go, Alvin Gentry, unless something changes, I think Alvin Gentry ends up the new coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. But yeah, so that narrative changing at the same time this morning, right as we were going on the air, we talked to you guys about the breaking news, broken foot expected to be confirmed, but the agent for Joel Embiid did confirm a significant right foot injury, and he is definitely, you got to think he is out of the equation for the Cavaliers at the number one pick in the draft. And the back issues were one thing. When you throw in foot problems and the, I don't know, you can say it's not, well, don't call him injury prone. Regardless, several concerns at the top of the draft. To me, as much as that talent is intriguing, I have got to think that really changes the entire thought process for the Cavs at the top of the draft. Whether that makes them narrow in on Wiggins or Parker, or whether they view none of the options there as worth taking. Perhaps they talk about following up on that Philadelphia offer that we talked about, which was Thaddeus Young and the number 3 pick for switching up to the number 1 with the Cavaliers. There were several other offers. Do they trade the pick entirely and go the route of a Kevin Love? Although I saw Flip Saunders, I saw some stuff the other day about how he felt it was going to be hard for any team to match the offer that Boston has got on the table if they decided to go that route. So I'll tell you what, it definitely changes the conversation there, because I told you, I talked to some people in the Cavaliers who physically from the workout side were blown away by Embiid, and he was really gaining some steam in the front office there. But I think this takes all the decision-making out of that process. There's just no way. The concern alone about the back was one thing, and that was going to be hard enough to justify yourself doing, but the potential talent and the fact that you can't teach height and all of that would be different. But I think when you add this in there, I mean, really, you guys, I could see people going absolutely nuts if the Cavaliers still drafted him, and then he really is injury prone. I mean, you can point to Z and say how things worked out for the best, but there was no guarantee of that. Hell, he got lucky that things worked out for the best, because he took one last shot at surgery. He was done. He knew it. He was done. And then they were able to, luckily, that last one got the job done, and he was able to come back and have a career. But that does not always happen. You know, for every Z, there's a Bill Walton. There's a guy out there that, I mean, Greg Oden. I mean, and you know what? That's the thing that worries me about Embiid, is does he become that kind of guy? Does he become, you know, a Greg Oden, a guy who has all the potential, the physical tools and talents, but his body betrays him one after another? And then I'm seeing that right there. I just think he's out of the equation for the Cavaliers here. So anyways, they saw Wiggins yesterday. You've got Parker coming up. You've got trade offers out there. and very interesting to see. That I'm telling you, I think that this may change. This may open up the odds of a trade even more. I think that this definitely puts that back in play for sure, because I don't know that the Cavs valued either of the other options enough not to pick up a guy like Young or a couple of extra picks here just to drop down a spot or two and still get one of these guys. I don't know, but the Embiid thing just came out this morning, and we will have to follow up on that as the confirmation comes out. Obviously, definitely affects a lot of things in the next 7 days with the Cavaliers. We'll be here tomorrow. We're talking about all of that. We've got John McMullen from the Sports Network going to be with us. Jonathan Knight will be here. We've got Jeff Gorman in the house. Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. We've got a loaded slate tomorrow covering all the bases and getting you ready for the weekend, as hopefully only we can here on the Sports Fix. Meanwhile, Indians continuing on. Bottom of the fifth, I've got still got a 1-1 score here. Let me refresh that, but I've still got a tie game here for the Indians, 1-1, and they are at the end of the fifth inning. So Mike Trout, Pujols, Hamilton, what a murderer's row there when those guys are all hitting right. Coming up next for the Angels here, hopefully the Indians can pull this off and get you a little bit of good vibes coming into that Detroit series that we're gonna preview tomorrow. You know, hey, something else. Hey, you know, I'm not gonna talk a lot about it now, but I will be soon, and you can bet that I'm going to, you're going to hear an endorsement every day for the next couple of months, because I'm a week in, and I have to tell you guys, DDP Yoga, I'm not saying this because of any reason, I'm not being paid a dime for this, but I have become an endorser for DDP Yoga because, man, I've got to tell you, in just the first week of doing it, already an incredible difference in how I feel, and I've got to tell you, as the catchphrase says, it ain't your mama's yoga. I cannot believe that standing still gave me such a workout, man. I'll talk to you guys more about it, but I behoove you, if you've got back problems, if you've got spine problems, if you're looking to drop 20 pounds and you've only got a month to do it, I'm telling you now, DDP Yoga, baby. I will talk to you guys more about it. I promise you, I'm not making a dime to tell you this, but you may pay me later if you start doing it, because I'm telling you, just a week in, and you got to realize, I'm not just a couch potato. Like, I mean, I do have an athletic background. I lift heavy weights. I run long distances every day. I do stuff like nothing. I'm telling you, you add this to whatever your current thing is, and it can help you out a lot. Everything in my body cracks when I move it now, and that's a good thing. Well, at least with my body, that's a good thing. My crocodile spine. But anyways, that's enough free publicity. I cannot believe Shark Tank did not jump. They jumped on Bubba. They need to jump on DDP Yoga, because that stuff is legit, man. It is. That blows away P90X, the Beachbody, all of that stuff, man. And it's low impact, and it's anybody can do it, I'll tell you. And I'm telling you, I don't think I've ever given that much free plug for anything in my life, but it's some good stuff, man. I'm feeling real, and I'm only a week in, feeling fantastic. DDP Yoga, baby, feel the bang. Anyway, so guys, we're going to feel the bang tomorrow, wrapping things up. Big Friday show, John Knight, John McMullen, Jeff Gorman, Mike Brandenberry, Doug Plagans might even stop by. Who knows? I don't even know if I got room for everybody. But let's do it. You guys have fun. Enjoy the rest of this Indians game. Come back tomorrow energized, fired up, and ready to fire through Friday, baby. Live, same bat time, same bat channel, right here on the Sports Fix. We love you, Cleveland. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Tribe. See you tomorrow.
I love sliming. Crockett Park's the perfect place for me to spend some time in. Baby, this is Cleveland. It is so much more to us. You can even go to Severance Hall to see an orchestra.
In Cleveland, hey. We rep our city. Yeah. Cool lights separate the grime from the gritty. We're sick city. Cool pass over any city that